Hello and welcome to another Mike M's Weekly Reads. Probably won't release this one until after I come back from the con, but or maybe I will release it. I don't know yet. But I did purchase some books today in the dollar bin, and I wanted to go over them. First, I'll mention a Kickstarter that I got. I got it mostly for the creator. I'm a fan of Pat Shand, and he did a comic book called Gangster Ass Barista. And it looks pretty phenomenal. I look forward to reading it. It's a nice Kickstarter. I like these graphic novel type Kickstarters. I feel like I get my money's worth. So I stopped at the comic shop today, and he's been filling, well, one of the employees has been filling the dollar box with crap that they're gonna throw out. Or like I couldn't believe that he threw out a box of comics for one thing. The owner, he should have called me. I would have went to rescue them. I don't care what they are. But he's been putting in books that he thinks he's gonna can't sell into the dollar bin, and I've been rescuing some of them. I picked up a comic book called Archangels from Eternal Studios. And I've never heard of the creators, but it is a color comic, and it looks pretty good. I might check it out for, I might read it for a retrocast. I haven't decided what to read. I picked up one and two. I've been into a lot of comic book companies that I haven't been, I wasn't exposed to early on, or I just neglected them in Diamond and previews in the 90s because I was so a Marvel and DC guy and Valiant and Malibu. I kind of stuck to the main things, Triumphant, continuity universes and stuff that and there's a lot of stuff that I wasn't exposed to. But one of the things I was exposed to, but I didn't buy the 3D version of it, was Normal Man 3D, and I did pick this up. I know I picked up a bunch of Normal Man. I didn't know what it was, but I had a concept when I was in junior high about a something very similar to this. And when I saw this come out at the comic shop, I was kind of blown away by it because I was like a concept that I was always trying to write about in middle school, about a normal guy in a superhero world. Some guy without powers. But anyway, this is a 3D comic, and it's the annual number one. And from Renegade Press. And I did have a lot of these 3D books that I'm going to be talking about didn't have the glasses, but one of them did come, the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs book, 3D, which I didn't own, did come with two pairs of glasses, or one of the Pacific comics did. So there was that. I got a comic book called 3D Heroes from Blackthorn Publishing. The cover looks amazing. The interiors look like fun. It looks like something out of Conan, and we'll see what that is. This one I had no idea what it was. It says an historic event in women caught in time, the gold Goldian in 3D. And this is also from Blackthorn Publishing. They pretty much just bought property so they could 3D the comic book. This one is from Eclipse and is 3D. It's the loudest comic book in the universe. Fabulous first issue and only issue. Three-dimensional destroy. Parents beware. This comic book is exactly what you think it is. 32 pages of meaningless, overblown violence, mayhem, and destruction, plus one naughty word. This one did come with 3D glasses in there. So, I will probably build them and then use them for some of these 3D comic books. Because he had a bunch of them for a dollar. This one is Wally Wood in 3D, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, everybody knows Wally Wood. This is pretty awesome. And a classic tale. Should be fun. This one was Basil Wolverton, The Weird Tales of Basil Wolverton, number two. So it was a 3D horror. It looked pretty interesting. Then I got Twisted 3D Tales number one, published by Blackthorn. I have been picking up some of the Twisted 3D Cadillacs and Dinosaurs from Kitchen Sink Press in 3D. I can't remember if this is the one that came with the glasses. No, I guess it didn't. DNA Agents 3D. I own a full run of DNA Agents, but I was pretty positive I didn't own the 3D version of it, so I thought I'd get it. Harley stopped raining, and Harley went outside to poop, and now she's yelling at me. So, back door. Wolverine. What the hell am I talking about? Valkyrie number one. I'm pretty sure I have this, but I have to pick it up in the dollar bin. It's a beautiful cover by Paul Galassi, and it's Chuck Dixon writing it, and it's from Eclipse, Valkyrie. It comes from that Airboy universe. I missed a lot of this company, but I've been buying a lot of it on Indie Planet. This is Flare from Heroic Publishing, issue number 2, and it looks pretty awesome. Look forward to checking that out. I had Blot, it has an advertisement on the black for the Black Enchantress, and that's one of the comic books I pursued. These ones I just got. I don't know if I have doubles of them, but I knew I was missing the tail end of John Sable Freelance, so I just got 31 almost continuously through 51, and I might have some dupes. But I was like, for a buck, if I can complete it, that's cool. And I've been into the continuity universe. And this is a continuity graphic novel, which has like Larry Hama, Michael Golden, Arthur Sodom. I know him from Marvel Zombies, Toll and Neil Adams. So it's got some big names in it. It's like an anthology. It looks pretty neat. I'm just thumbing through it and looks really interesting. I didn't even know that existed, to tell you the truth. And on the back, it says, come all, come one to Freak Show, coming soon, from Bernie Wrightson and Bruce Jones. Wow. I wonder if that came out. I have to look that up. I have to. I then picked up a comic book that's not in my wheelhouse. It's an issue number one of from Eclipse International, which has the Viz imprint. It has Kamui, the legendary Kamui, the remarkable 17th century tale of a man's passionate struggle for freedom. A genuine ninja story. This is a random issue I picked up from Antarctic Press. It's Warrior Nun Black and White, number 5. And Warrior Nun just got picked up by Avatar. These covers are amazing. These are from Pacific Comics, Twisted Tales, number 7 and 9. They look absolutely... They're anthology Tales from the Crypt type books. They look amazing. This comic book I didn't even know existed. It's called Anything Goes, number 2, recommended. This is interesting. This is a story starring Maggie and Hopi by Jaime Hernandez, but it has names like Alan Moore and Don Simpson, Jack Kirby and Joe Sinnott, Jack Cronin and Dennis Fujitic, Art Spiegelman, and Sam Keith. What is this? Like, I know Jaime Hernandez. I had a tag. What is this? I don't know how Jaime Hernandez plays into this, or what this necessarily is, but the creative teams are legit. So there is a, I guess, a Love and Rockets story in here. Which might be my first exposure to the property, so it might be interesting to read it. Might check this out. This might be one of those retro for the Retrocast. I picked up Adolescent Radioactive Black Hamsters in 3D number 1 and 2. This came in at Hero Illustrated. I think it was an attachment. Comic book Who's Who, complete biographies from the editors of Heroes Illustrated. I didn't have this, but it probably was an attachment. It's got like all the big heroes in the universe and fact files on them across the companies. So it'll say like Sandman, and then you get Rojas, created by Walter Simonson from Starjammers. So it gives you a little bit of everything across the board: Spawn, Swamp Thing, Wildcats, Breed, Bad Rock, Wonder Woman, Superman, Spirit. So it goes across companies and characters and gives you little profiles about them. It's pretty interesting. That was also a buck. That's a thick bastard. This one is an awesome pick, and I didn't even notice it. I have most of the Grimjack, but this was issue 26, and I didn't even notice it until I was taking pictures of the book. But I had no idea that this issue had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Peter Laird, and in the back, there's a backup feature, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Mudin's bar, and then it's got the Grimjack story up front. So I had no idea. That's pretty cool. 3D Alien Terror, another 3D comic book from Eclipse Comics. This one was 3D. I didn't know that, but it looked like a Jack Kirby-ish type cover. It's Against Black Shard 3D, and it's from Sirius Comics. These are from Antarctic Press. Luft Muft Luft Waffle 1946. I don't know German, but looks like it's a fighter plane book. And Families of Altered Wars. I don't have any idea what this is, but I thumbed through it and it looked pretty interesting. I picked up Michael Moorcock's Hawk Moon, The Sword of Dawn. This is like out of my wheelhouse, because I'm not into fantasy, but I've heard good things, so it's number one. I thought it'd be a good issue to check out. On the magazine front, I picked up 20. Let me see if I can get these in order. I picked up some more Hulk magazines. I said I finished Rampaging Hulk, but I audited it and I need the last two issues of the magazine. Well, that issue. That magazine became the Hulk, and then it changed formats to be in color. And I was missing a few of the color issues. I don't know how much yet. I haven't done a full audit yet. But I got Hulk magazine number 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. 26 has an amazing cover because it's made a t-shirt. I know it has. 27 is the last issue. So I pretty much focused on the last issues, hopefully not having overlap. I could potentially have overlap. I don't think so, but we'll see. I know I don't have the last two issues. That's damn for damn sure. Those were not a dollar each. But I wanted to pick those up. And he has a few more if I need to go back and look at them. I picked up a from Pacific Comics, the Corbin Special number 1, which is a special on Edgar Allan Poe, The House of Usher. That'll be fun. Alien Worlds, these covers are phenomenal. This is from Pacific Comics. It's an anthology. I picked up one. Two has a Dave Stevens cover, and it has Bruce Jones stories and alien science fiction. Number three has a really cool cover. It looks like astronaut on a planet, and he's like went into a hole, and all these lizards are coming after him. Another Dave Stevens cover in number four. It's really beautiful. Number five, I don't know who the artist is, but it's also awesome looking. Number six has a beautiful cover, especially if you're an ass man like me. It has a woman there getting ready to shoot a lizard, and you see her backside. But then number seven is Another Alien Worlds. That's like my least favorite cover. Number eight, it looks like it switches over to Eclipse. Alien Worlds 3D number one. I picked up a final black and white issue of Dragon Ring. I don't know what it is, but it's from Aerosol Comics. And it looked weird. The size, sorry. I had to sneeze. But the size is a little bit off of comic standard size, and it was the number is issue six. But it looked I thumbed through it and it looked really interesting, so I picked it up. Alien Encounters, I got number 1, 3, 7, 10. Also another sci-fi anthology type comic book from Eclipse. And then Twisted Tales, number 1 through 4 from Pacific Comics. This one I was really happy to find in the dollar bin because it was the only issue I was missing of Vanguard Illustrated, number 2, by Dave Stevens cover. Awesome. Another Pacific Comics author Soydum's Demon Dreams, number 1 and 2. Looks pretty cool. I like his art style. It looks very. I know him from Marvel Zombies, but this looks really Sam Keith-ish looking. Looks interesting. And then these were like $2 each. I picked up Kiss Psycho Circus. I have 1 through 10, and I wanted to get. These came from the Spawn, from Todd McFarlane's company, and I want to complete all of it. So, the art in these are amazing. I love it. Some of the art is done by Clayton Crane, and it is 90s Clayton Crane, and it's beautiful. He has, at this time period, he has a very McFarlane type look. McFarlane and Capullo. So we got Nightmares from Doug Munch and Paul Galassi from Eclipse Comics, and I got issues number 1 and 2. It looks really interesting. Really interesting. So that was some of the comic books that I got, and I thought I'd go over them. I don't plan on doing the weekly reads until a couple of days, but I'd like to do it maybe this weekend, and because I'm only recording one podcast on Sunday, so maybe a Sunday night I can do the rest of this show. So I want to thank you for listening, and there will be I still have a Geek Brunch in the can I need to release. It's the shortest Geek Brunch ever. It's only 2 hours. So me and Bill got to talk before he went to a convention, and I have a I'll have a retrocast to post, but I might not post that until I get back from HeroesCon. We haven't recorded that yet, but it'll be in the can on Sunday. So just some things coming up: another Mike Gems Weekly Reads, another Geek Brunch, and a retrocast. I hope you can keep up with all them podcasts. And then on the other feed, DC Noise, you can check out many episodes of DC Spotlight. And the last episode, we covered some Manhunter. So check those out. Retro Manhunter. And I think we covered, I don't know what else we covered. I'll have to look it up. Let me check real quick. DC Noise. I might have one of those in the can. I have to check to see if I still have to post one. It's possible. Yeah, I have one to still post. Because the last one I posted was called Ran and Ruffles, where we covered Adam Strange and Detective Comics. And in the latest one that we recorded, we covered Manhunter. And what else did we cover? I can't remember for the life of me. But they were good. I know I liked them a lot. I just can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. So that's coming up. So we'll talk to you soon. So I have another DC noise in the can. See ya. All right. We're back with Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just came back from the Comic-Con, Heroes Con. And I got a lot to talk about there, but that'll be in another episode. And I had recorded something before I left, at least part one. And I needed to go through the weekly reads. I will say that Heroes Con was really awesome. Really enjoyed it. I did a lot of different things as far as spending wise. Not a lot of back issues, a lot more artist alley books. Only one commission this year. But it was, I spent a lot. And I came home with a short box of comics, believe it or not. I'll be talking about all that stuff in a future episode. Definitely on Geek Brunch, if not on another Mike M's Weekly Reads. So stay tuned. Me and Bill are recording this weekend, at least that's the plan. And I want to get through some of the comics that I read for 3 weeks because I don't want to fall behind again. And this is for a week, and talk about falling behind. I have 2 weeks worth of books to enter in on in the spreadsheet because it was on travel. 1 week ended during Heroes Con, and then 1 week started because we got stuck in North Carolina on Monday. We were supposed to fly out on Monday, and Houston rains had stopped us from getting our connecting flight, so we just stayed in North Carolina another day, and I did a lot of reading that night, but we'll get into that in a future episode. So this is for books from 512 through 518. It was some good reads. I had a really good time that week, and there were a lot of 5 out of 5s. So let's start at the bottom. We had a total of 16 comics, one from SourcePoint Press, one from Image, one from IDW, five from Dynamite, six from DC, and two from Boom. And I think, that should be right. So we'll start at the 3 out of 5s. While I enjoyed this quite a bit, I gave it a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5, you got to remember, is I liked it. 4 out of 5 is I really liked it. 5 out of 5 is I loved it. So at the bottom, we had some Dynamite, and it was John Wick number 1 through 5. I was hungry to read this because me and my wife went to go see on a Saturday John Wick 3, and I was just blown away by the fight scenes. I mean, there wasn't really a lot more added to the plot. I mean, they're all sort of the similar plots, but I found it so damn entertaining that I was like, well, there's no more John Wick for me to sit down and enjoy. But I do have some comics, so I wanted to read the comics. And I did enjoy them. They were John takes on three assassins named Bill from his childhood, and they're like the three Bills, and finds out that a woman is there's a woman killer behind this, and they essentially killed a lot of Mexicans in Mexico, and her name is Calamity, and she is batshit crazy. So she's really the driving force that he needs to take down. He makes an uneasy alliance with another party to take out the Bills and Calamity. And the art and story did not seem in sync, and that's why I think I gave it a little bit of lower score. Is it, they just while they were good individually, they just didn't seem to mesh. Like with the pace of the story, there were some panels I couldn't tell what was necessarily going on. I needed a better dynamic artist to go with some of the action scenes. But overall, it was pretty entertaining. This one I rated a 3 out of 5, but I'm thinking, man, it's more of a 4 out of 5, but I'm gonna go with what I originally put down. I give Transformers number one from IDW a 3 out of 5. However, said that, it's made me, for the first time ever, hungry to read some more. So that's really a good thing for me, because I've never really gotten into the Transformers. Never watched the cartoon. I was coming out of cartoons when Transformers and G.I. Joe hit. Whereas when G.I. Joe started at IDW, I jumped on and fell in love with it. Transformers, I tried it several times, and I just never could get into it. But I've haven't, unlike most people, I have enjoyed the movies, especially the latest one, Bumblebee. So I thought I'd jump on with this relaunch. And Rumble is a new character, and he's fascinated with Cybertron, because he's like born, and he's exploring Cybertron and learning from Bumblebee. As Bumblebee is his mentor. Windblade is a security robot and meets up with them. They find out that Brainstorm may have been killed. Meanwhile, Optimus and Megatron disagree on a speech that could cause a potential civil war. Really entertaining. All takes place on Cybertron prior to them coming to Earth. We have Detective Comics at a 4 out of 5, 1,000. This was so up and down for me. It definitely wasn't as good as Action Comics 1,000, in my opinion. I have some friends that felt the opposite. But a lot of my closer friends I thought Superman was a little bit better. But the Scott Snyder Cthulhu story was by far my favorite, with the secret detective agency, the Guild of Detection. The only thing that was weird is I found that some of the detectives less adept than Batman for this guild, like Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Yeah, they're detectives, but why were they in this? That Detective Chimp and other characters, Elongated Man. It was pretty fascinating. And I hope that they do something with this. I hope it's not just thrown out there to give us a 1,000 bone. I hope they do something with the Guild of Detection. The other story, which I liked just as much, was Kevin Smith's story, which surprised me. And it was him tracking down the gun that killed his parents and molding it into a chess piece to deflect bullets. Really well told story. One by Denny was kind of cool, and that the Batman family found an alias that they all used to go undercover, and Damian wanted in on this action. So, like Matches Malone, they invented a like mob guy or a henchman. That, including the women, they all would disguise themselves as and eventually foil the bad guys, because he acted like an idiot, and it was pretty interesting story. So those three stories really worked for me, and as we went through the other stories, I liked them less and less. The one that I really didn't like, was the Warren Ellis one. That was my least favorite, and I was shocked that it was my least favorite. Totally forgettable. I don't even remember what happened. There was a Tom King one at the back, and it was all right. I didn't really care for how the story was told. A lot of not captions, but word bubbles, and you couldn't really tell which character was saying what, so you have to fit the puzzle in yourself, and that's fine. It just, I didn't like it. There was a short story at the back with the introduction of Arkham Knight. So that wraps up Detective 1000. Was a 4 out of 5. We also had RoboCop, Citizen's Arrest, which is 4 out of 5. A Detroit police officer is laid off from OCP droids while his wife is having a baby. OCP developed an app for reporting crimes where anyone can report the crime. And if found true, they can earn money. So they're basically a bunch of idiots false reporting crimes just so they can potentially earn money. RoboCop has been scrubbed of any violence from his chip, and the officer is finding a way, the one that got kicked off the police force, trying to retrieve his memories and make him back to who he was. I gotta go get up and let Harley out for 2 minutes because she'll be right back in as she goes out. She sees the sunshine, but it's actually pretty windy, and it's a pretty cold wind, so she ain't gonna go hang out there, but she just sees the sunshine and says, "Oh, I'm gonna go bask in the sun." And then 2 minutes later, she will be knocking at the door. So that's the way it works. The next one, Detective Comics 1001 through 1003. This is All of the Bats Are Dying in Gotham. Batman goes to Miss Langstrom to try and help her, and he converts her to a human form because he wants to go after Kirk Langstrom, you know, who's Man-Bat, if you didn't know that, who is with the Justice League right now. There's a secret organization run out of the Arkham Asylum, and they're trying to kill the Batman. It turns out to be Astrid Arkham, and I don't know if this is her first appearance. I'd have to research that. She seems to have some kind of spell over the inmates as well. There is an issue where she tries to convert Damien to leave, trying to convince Damien to leave Batman, but she lets him escape. And I don't know what that was about, but there was like a weird banter between the two, and she just says, "You know, go on your own free will." And he did. Really liked the Brad Walker art. This story was really working for me. I always like when Man Bat's in a book, and this was, you know, Man Bat's wife. And all the bats were dying in Gotham, so that's where Batman got involved. He's like, well, I wonder what's gonna happen to Kirk and his wife. So, that wrapped up the 4 out of 5s. We got to the 5 out of 5s. We have Floppy Cop number one. And it's a cop with a without a spine that deals with cop issues in an adventure comedy. And I really enjoyed it. It's a 5 out of 5, and I can't really compare it with the other ones, just for what it achieved on its own, like in terms of lighthearted comedy. Like the other ones are really dark, and this just worked for at that level, like really well. Faithless number one, I loved it. A woman into the dark arts has trouble climaxing, and that's what sexual climaxing. She has trouble orgasming. That's a hard word to say. Orgasm's a better word to say, but orgasming, I don't know if that is a word. She goes off to get coffee and meets a woman being stalked by her old boyfriend. She pretends to be her date. So the boyfriend will lay off. Later, when they're playing pool, she sees that same boyfriend commit suicide, jump off a building, essentially. They go back to her place and have sex, and her partner turns into a worm creature as she is being, how do you say this without getting nasty? But going down on, and she's, you know, there's some stuff happening down there. Some people use the term eating out, but. It was a very entertaining comic book, and you at this point you wonder if the fact that she has this ability with magic, did she influence the boyfriend to actually jump off the building? And things will solidify as you get into Faithless 2. We have Detective Comics 998 to 999. It's the conclusion to the Tomasi Monkey arc, where someone who is thought to be Hugo Strange is hunting and sometimes killing Bruce's loved ones, like we think that Leslie Tompkins is dead, or ones that are key to his training, Ducard, you know, various characters. It is a well-crafted story, and it turns out to be the anniversary of his parents dying, and he puts himself in an incubation chamber type device and tries to survive his worst nightmares. So it really turns out to be a dream, but it's so well told and well crafted because you believe it's a murder mystery. The way it opens up with is both of his parents are dead, and they're not really his parents, but there's somebody acting like his parents, and he's trying to solve this crime. I loved it. Loved it a lot. In his fights, he buries Bruce Wayne at the end, and then Alfred and Damian unhook him from the device. He has a cool sequence in the tube with Jason Blood, the demon. Also has a scene where he was trained by Vic Stone's father, and Vic Stone being Cyborg. And I don't think that's ever been explored. We have Gunning for the Hits. A record producer wants to sign a very talented musician where his demanding girlfriend is kind of like his agent, wants $6 million and other stuff, but she also wants something very weird from him. She wants him to suck her boyfriend's dick while she watches. And the way it's told is he's contemplating the act. So, because he knows with this particular artist, he can make a lot of money. So he like breaks down in his mind all the things being done and what will be happen to the artist if he does get him to sign. At the end, he ends up pulling a gun on them. The back matter was wonderful as it goes through the writer's music career and comics history, as he was an agent for David Bowie and the record label. I loved it. Top book for that week. We then get into the week for May 19th through May 26th. There are a total of only 11 comics. We got two from North Star, one from London Knight Studios. We're going to a lot of 90s. Three from Fantagraphics, three DC, one Boom, one our Antarctic Press. We'll start at the bottom. This was not a good thing to get into from the Hernandez brothers. Well, it was a 3 out of 5 because it's well done for what it is, but it was a series called Blubber I ordered from Fantagraphics, and it is a lot of sex, really nasty monsters, dicks, and a whole lot of fucking. And I read them all in one sitting, and it was about stuff going into holes. And God, I can't remember. There's one central female character that's a porn star, and I can't remember her name. It was a very interesting name. I am sitting and drinking a Stewart's Fountain Classic Orange and Cream. And as I said, I'm going to let Harley in for 2 minutes, and then she's going to go back out. Trust me, I know her. She's a nutcase. So, that was Blubber as a 3 out of 5 I gave it. Then we get into the 4 out of 5s, which was the remaining books. We have there were no 5 out of 5s that week. At the bottom we have Jungle Comics from Antarctic Press. I really enjoyed this. In our current modern society, there's a white man that essentially made himself a jungle king. He is very arrogant and has a wife that wants to go back to her normal life. A matter of fact, she's like, God, I want to go back into town so I could buy this, this, and this. And he's like, I'm king of the jungle, man. We got to do our stuff. We got to protect our society from these lizard creatures. And he ends up getting eaten by the lizard. It's really well told. I enjoyed it. I think it was Chuck Dixon that wrote it. The second story is about a jungle princess that gets abducted by aliens. So I'm on board with this one, even though I'm thinking of cutting back. I'm going to stick with that one. Splatter number 1 and 3. This is a North Star comic. I do want to finish this series. I will say it is shock horror. So if you're not into shock horror, you probably want to stay away from this, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. A vampire queen has a werewolf lover. When he is killed, she seeks revenge on the village people that killed him, but wants to bring her lover back to life, so she's headed to Castle Frankenstein. So there is sex between her and her werewolf lover, the vampire woman, and it is drawn beautifully by Tim V. Hill. The next story is very much like in a Mad Magazine cartoony style. but very violent. A kid that orders pizza, he orders pizza and then basically eats the delivery people and then reads the paper every day as he consumes another delivery person. He basically draws them in, says, "Could you put the pizzas and the sodas onto, the table?" And then he murders them and then doesn't eat the pizza, he eats the people. The next one is two comic creators envision violence of a serial killer as they walk through town. They don't really kill people, but they just in their minds as they're creating this comic book, they envision a bunch of violent acts against these people. The next one is a witch that lures men in. Sometimes they want to kill her, and she uses cherubs. I think that's how you say it. Like little baby angels with the Cupid, like Cupid, to kill them, and then have sex with their revived corpses. Wow, this was a nasty week. A lot of sex. Neo-Nazis attack an elderly. This one is really dark, and it's hard to read. Oh no, this one isn't as dark as the other one. This one is neo-Nazis attack an elderly black woman that basically helped a World War II vet. She gave him money. She said, "You need anything?" These neo-Nazis saw that, and they picked on the wrong woman. They were gonna kill the man and the woman, and just for fun. And they picked on the wrong vet. He saw these Nazi symbols, and he was a fighter in World War II, and he's like, "Fuck Nazis," and he killed them. The next one is by that same guy that did that pizza comic. He does a lot of eating violence. It's about people that go to a restaurant, the same restaurant, and they send back their plates saying, "This tastes terrible." And everybody that does that, he basically kills that person, cooks them, and then serves them up. So it's like this recursive cycle of people turning back their plates and saying, "This tastes terrible." And then he kills them and then makes a plate and then serves it again and then repeat. The next one, this is the one that was really, really tough. And I don't even want to go into the details of it, but it's essentially during slave times. There's a young black woman that tries to run away and gets caught by her master and the her neighboring masters, so it is really vile, too vile to even talk about. This next one is an angry road rage guy that makes drivers mad, like throwing fingers, cutting them off, doing shit, and eventually he comes home to eat some ice cream. And there are a but everybody that he did wrong that day, as a horrible driver, was in line to do something to him. And the first guy like took his finger off because he threw him a finger. They're all in line seeking revenge. That's kind of like what you get from Splatter. Another book that's very violent. I need to add more books to the total. I screwed up. I only gave London Knight Studios one. But it's really one, two, three, four. It's really four. So I have to add three more. And that makes it 14. Razor Zero, Director's Cut. Razor the Suffering, two and three. Razor Burn, number two. Razor is Nicole Mitchell, the daughter of an infamous Frank Mitchell, who was a gangster who stepped over the line and was killed by Roman Van Drake. She goes after Roman and sex traffickers, killing a lot of men. She grew up in an insane asylum and does not know if her sister is alive or dead. I believe her sister is going to be Strike, who works for Roman, so she might get in conflict with that if that is true. I was piecing together parts. Razor Zero was from the first series. Then there was a mini, which I only had issues 2 and 3, and Razor Burn. I got all these from Reed, I told him I was interested in, 90s books, and he offered these up to me, and I said, yes, I want them. And now I really want to finish Razor. Not necessarily all of them. Like Razor Burn was in color, the others are in black and white. The first volume looks awesome, and that's the volume I want to finish. And I wouldn't mind finishing the miniseries Razor the Suffering as well. But I don't think I'm going to finish Razor Burn. I will if I have the opportunity in a dollar bin or something like that. So we talked about that. She goes after more gangsters and kills them violently, but the leader manages to knock her out and give her drugs. And that actually happens in Razor the Suffering. We then go into DC Comics. We have Manhunter number one, rereading this for DC Spotlight. Kate Spencer is trying Copperhead in trial. She's a lawyer. And he gets off for insanity and then kills cops that were transporting him. Kate says enough is enough. She goes to the security lockup in the police headquarters and steals various artifacts, especially one belonging to the previous Manhunter, the Manhunter staff, and several other objects, which and becomes the new Manhunter, and takes those objects out to kill Copperhead. We then get into Ronin number one and two. I rated these 4 out of 5, but it deteriorated fast after this. This is the Frank Miller series. I didn't even put a good comment there because it's very hard to describe. So I said, go to my database and read it because it basically summarizes Ronin. In centuries past, a young samurai pledged his life in the service of his master, Lord Ozaki. He's the main character of the book, at least the Ronin. Ozaki was a wielder of the Blood Sword, a mystical blade stolen from the demon Agat. When Ozaki was killed by a selfless demon, the young Ronin, a samurai with no master, sought vengeance on the demon. The Blood Sword had the power to slay Agat only if it had been used to slay an innocent. So to complete his quest, a Ronin plunged the blade through his own heart, sparing the demon as well. But as he died, the demon uttered one final curse, and then you cut ahead into the future. Now, as the bioengineered Aquarius complex sprawls over the ruins of New York City, within an armless kid named Billy melds cybernetically with a living computer named Virgo. You'll see a lot of similarities to Rye and Mother, and you wonder if Shooter took some of these ideas that were great ideas, but it was a pieced together comic book that was really not well told. And took it into something that was better told into Rye. But I found this to have like a lot of the seeds of Rye. As Billy dreams, strange dreams about an ancient Rome, and the complex is invaded by monstrous, unstoppable terrors. In a final moment of realization, Billy realizes that he is part of an old conflict which had never truly ended. And there's also what this summary doesn't talk about is you have Billy, you have the Ronin, you have Agat who comes back as the villain to try to get the Blood Sword, and there is one detective woman that is a huge part of the story. She's like a police officer in that Aquarius complex. So that's Ronin. I give it a 4 out of 5. We go into the last 4 out of 5, Faithless number 2. Our main character goes to a party that her new lover invited her to, and she watches an awesome concert and snaps a pic, but no pics are allowed at this concert, so she gets kicked out and has a violent interaction with someone popular until her lover bails her out. Basically, she sees her in trouble, that this guy is like holding her over a ledge and almost like sexually. It's really weird. They go walking home when a group of guys start to sexually harassing them. Like it looks like they might get raped. I don't know. They're getting pretty vile. She uses magic. The main character uses magic to make them go fuck each other. It's like sweet justice. We then get into May 27th through June 2nd. We had 16 comics, one Titan, 14 DC, and one Aftershock. Let's start at the 2 out of 5s. Heroes in Crisis number 9. I really didn't like this. I'm kind of glad. The team convinces Wally not to kill himself, but turn himself in and set an example. God, I didn't like this. I thought it was a waste of something that was beautiful in the DC Universe Rebirth, and just to like throw it all away with this. Like, I know a lot of people felt this way, except for some people. Like some of my close friends like this. I don't think they. I think if there was another name on it, like not King, Tom King, I don't think they would have liked it as much. But if you look at it, if you look at it in terms, it's not that they do this to characters all the time, so it's not a big deal. And leadership, Dan DiDio's never liked sidekicks for some reason, you know, like fuck with Nightwing, make a Grayson tile, make Rick, like I didn't like Grayson either, but you make Rick Grayson instead of Dick Grayson. I like that one. But you know he messes with it, and this was the death of Arsenal, a death of a lot of sidekicks, really for no reason other than Wally kind of losing control of his powers in the Speed Force and sort of slaughtering him, and then trying to hide the act. He didn't like intentionally cause, like he just lost control because of PTSD, essentially, because of coming back. The current Linda dissing him, all kinds of stuff. I gave it a 2 out of 5. I really didn't like it. I was mixed on this. I think there was like one or two issues I gave a 4 out of 5. A lot of them I gave a 3 out of 5. I think that's where it stood. And then maybe one or two I gave it a 2 out of 5 out of that series. I gave 2 out of 5s to Ronin 3 through 4. And this is just Agat is the body of another one of the members of the Aquarius Project and is trying to bring out World War III. We have Young going to the 4 out of 5s. These are books that we covered on DC Spotlight. Some Michael Bendis books. We got Young Justice 2 through 5. One issue focuses on Wonder Girl and her father Zeus as he grants a gift and she refuses to take it because she feels she didn't earn it. Bart finds Connor, and it's like real emotional that he found Connor on Gemworld, and he has a wife and kid. The Opal class of Gemworld is up to no good and imprisons Amethyst and Young Justice, and they manage to escape. Let's see. A nice solid flashback with Tim and Steph and Zatanna. And the interaction makes Robin remember his past with Young Justice, which somehow was wiped out from his memory. So this is almost like remembering Young Justice pre-Flashpoint. So interesting thread there. And the interaction with Steph is like he remembers things like she was pregnant. All the ordeals that they went to together, her being Robin, all kinds of stuff. Really good issue. Naomi 2 through 4. Naomi finds out more about herself from a mechanic who is an ex-Thanagarian wingman. She finds her adopted father is from Ran, and she has a symbol of the White Lanterns. At least it looks like the symbol of the White Lanterns to me. And they basically got caught up in a situation where her mother was being chased, and it looked like they were going to be kill the baby and kill her, and the Thanagarian and Ran soldier saved her life, and he ended up marrying an Earthling, and the Ranian, and they raised Naomi. Going to the 5 out of 5s, we have Manhunter 2 through 5. Kate takes out Copperhead and becomes addicted to the adrenaline and wants to take out criminals off the street. Her son Ramsey finds the Manhunter staff when she's supposed to be taking care of him, and he needs to be hospitalized because it's almost like a kid finding a gun and then hurting himself. And then the father says, "Fuck this shit, Kate. You're irresponsible, and I want full custody." Kate is feeling bad now and knows a villain, Dylan, that can help be her tech guy. This Dylan guy is fantastic, by the way. Shadow Thief finds out she killed Copperhead and seeks revenge. The Justice League intervenes because Shadow Thief killed Firestorm in Identity Crisis. Very likable characters that seem real. And you basically feel all the punches and bruises that Kate gets. It's pretty amazing. The art's spectacular. Another 5 out of 5, the girl who handcuffed Houdini, 3 through 4. Mindy infiltrates the spiritualists and finds out that Houdini is going to get murdered. She tries to help, but the wife is so insecure of her financial position that she stops the autopsy. So the spiritualists did end up murdering Houdini. And she tried to get a hold of the wife and say, this is what happened. But she's worried that if it's a murder investigation, that she won't get like the money that's due. She won't get the insurance money because they'll be caught up in a murder trial. Basically decides to release the forms and not let the autopsy take place because arsenic poisoning can have similar effects to appendicitis. And that's what he died of. So we have, at least supposedly, a lot of conspiracy theories with Houdini. This is absolutely wonderful comic book from Titan Comics. Rounding up the 5 out of 5s, we have Out of the Blue Volume 1 hardcover. This is by Garth Ennis. A British fighter pilot gets into an accident that is not his fault. His superior officer blames him and gives him crappy jobs. He's really an asshole. Because his best friends were on that other plane that he crashed into. And he gives them the crappiest plane, and it's called the Bitch, in which it historically has been known to have many mechanical failures. He is an awesome pilot, though, and manages to succeed with his newfound co-pilot, who the superior officer also hates. The superior officer is at a dance and then hits on his wife. His friends manage to help him out. The place is like it places us in a mode like the Haunted Tank, but it's up in the air as far as the Bitch plane. Like, weird shit happens, but sometimes it happens to advantages, and there's just weird stuff that goes on in this like haunted airplane. I can't wait to see what happens with it because I love this hardcover format, and I talked to these guys at Heroes Con. They had a booth, and I was telling them how much I love their hardcover formats, and it said, you know, that they come from Europe. European comics are usually in that size format, and usually in hardcover. And I have a few humanoids that are in that big format. Some are even bigger. I ordered one of them that's really big. But, yeah, I talked to them, and they have it's an alternative cover for this. I didn't even know. I thought issue 2 came out. But he told me, no, it was a different cover for Out of the Blue. But I want to thank you for listening. A lot of wonderful comics. I had a great time talking about them because there were a lot of spectacular issues. I still have to inventory everything I read for the last 2 weeks, which isn't fun, especially when I'm not there by my computer, because usually what I do is I read a handful and then I catalog them, read a handful and then catalog them. And in this case, I'm going to have to remember everything. So I want to thank you for listening, and I will talk to you very soon. And you can reach me at the website, ginkbrunchpodcast.com. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me. You can reach me on snail mail, or well, actually, snail mails if you mailed me something. But you can email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And I think that's about it. But I'm also on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like on that page. And I do read those. I get notified. So if you do leave a comment there, I will respond to you. And maybe even talk about it on the episode, future episodes. I want to thank those people that submitted questions. I have a whole bunch of questions to still go through. So they're queued up for future episodes. And I will talk to you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.